686-2237.
Liberals call President Obama's proposed $3.7 trillion budget an affront on the poor. Conservatives call it a debt-riddled assault on the grandkids. What do you say, America? It just becomes official. A V-Day budget. Time for some budget busting, I have a feeling, here on ATN. Kate Delaney, happy to be here, coast to coast and all those places in between. You know the digits. You want to throw in your 2 cents. 800-259-5791. A balanced budget is like such a dirty word in Washington anyway, isn't it? Or you can shoot me your thoughts at americatonight.net. Get us through the chat. Or several other ways, Twitter or Facebook, too. You can also call on the show that way as well. You might be budget weary, because after all, it's not a big secret. We knew these numbers were coming out. We knew that there were going to be proposed slashes to over 200 programs. It's pretty much, you know, there was no song and dance here. There were so many leaks, and then there was even a preview from the president. It was pretty much what you expected. And the reaction is absolutely, I think, what I expected anyway, because nobody's happy. Nobody likes this budget. And this is the problem. I wrote a little bit about this on my blog on americatonight.net. The problem is Obama's, he's like trying to play both ends. He's trying to be a people pleaser. I just want everyone to like me. How do I do this? You know, if you listen to the State of the Union address, it seemed almost like he was a centrist. He had some ideals in what he was espousing about the future. I mean, some of it was definitely way off the map, but some of it was kind of in line with what the Republicans were saying. So it was odd in listening to it if you went back and you really listened to what the president said. Now the budget comes out, nobody's happy because there's not enough cuts in there. If the idea was, hey, we got a slash and trash, baby, because now it's too late. We're SOL, if you know what we mean, so we're going to have to just take it. We're just going to have to cut it up because it's the only way it's going to make sense down the road, and it's the only way we can preserve what we know moving forward. Or you might think that's a bunch of nonsense and that too many cuts will screw up too many people who can ill afford to have programs they desperately need slashed. And they're not all lazy and on the dole. Some of these people are people who are in prickly situations. And after all, don't we help people who need a helping hand? So the budget has not surprised me. The reaction has been kind of interesting. The president said it's all about taking charge in a way and saying the buck stops here. Take a listen.
And when it comes to programs we do need, we're making them work better by demanding accountability.
Accountability. Wow, that's a word that I don't believe when it comes to Washington. Call me cynical, but I think that's been the problem. That's been the problem for the past couple of decades, really. There hasn't been that accountability. And that's why we find ourselves in these situations where we have General Motors, or AKA Government Motors, having to pay out $189 million in bonuses. Some workers got 50%, I understand, payoffs. So $400 million in worker bonuses. Well, where is all that money coming from? This is just 2 years after bankruptcy. But they're going to have to do that to these hourly workers because of the turnaround, which they did have the turnaround. So it's a reward that was part of the deal. The payments had to be disclosed in some of the company documents, and it's very similar to the bonuses announced last week for some of the white-collar employees, by the way. Ooh, to get a job at Government Motors. What are we doing? What are we doing not working there? So, of course, the bonuses should, and they would get some criticism from, you know, many of us who said, wow, what are we doing? We're bailing out the auto industry. Shouldn't GM have to repay that $49.5 billion loan before offering bonuses? See, so this is the problem. Accountability. There isn't accountability. Transparency. There is only the mirage of transparency. We're fooling ourselves if we think we're getting that. Of course we're not getting that. And by the way, I don't care what stripes you wear, we're really not getting that from anyone. We're not getting it from either side. The Democrats certainly not, and not from the Republicans either. That's why after the midterm elections, there was such a demand for, okay, so we wanted this transparency. We wanted to see something change. Show us. We voted. Show us. Show us that something different is going to happen here. So who are the real winners in this budget? Well, it still has to go through the process, and I'm sure it will be changed and trashed. But who are the winners and who are the real losers in this? Of course, it's one of these deals where it would take us probably 10 shows to go page by page and bore the crap, by the way, out of all of you. So we won't do that because, you know, you got to have some infotainment after all, folks, right? But it's the budget isn't all about cuts, but that's also part of the problem. It's a $3.7 trillion budget. To be sure, some of the things that we thought would be trashed are trashed, like, you know, the reimbursements, the energy payments, if you will, for the people who, with the heating, they couldn't afford the heat. And unfortunately, it's been a terrible, terrible winter for so many. So that is going to get cut out. Also, you've got a call for $36 billion in loan guarantees for nuclear power plants, because energy was one of the things that was talked about, remember? And $2 billion in loan guarantees for renewable energy projects altogether. So far, that hasn't been funded. See, this is something that should have been done a long time ago. I've talked about this before. We could have been so far down the road if we had not just completely abandoned the whole idea of nuclear energy. Anyway, the budget also calls for a six-year, $556 billion transportation bill. Do you know that's an increase of how much? 60% was the number I heard from the previous bill when it's adjusted for inflation. So what does that do? It pays for highways, bridges, trains, airports, and grants to states for local road maintenance. But a big chunk of that funding comes from the 18.4 cent a gallon federal gasoline tax. Remember this whole thing about high-speed rail projects and how many jobs that would create. So the proposal includes $53 billion for that and $30 billion for a national infrastructure bank. The bank is supposed to make decisions on transportation and not just leave it up to the states or locally where they're built. I see a whole lot of holes in this one. More budget busting next on ATN.
Hi, I'm Don Wiskin, and have you ever wondered what the garlic cayenne drops could do for you? February is Heart Month, and we want you to find out just what can happen when you take the right combination of herbs designed to maintain our cardiovascular health. Purchase a 4-month supply of Extendivite drops or capsules, plus get a bonus month supply of capsules for only $125 plus shipping. That's 5 months worth of Extendivite for $25 per month. This is a Heart Month special to help get you started on your path to better health and ends February 28th. So don't be left out. Find out what Extendivite can do for you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. 877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVice.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects, is safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled Dermatol.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Republicans proposed about $100 billion in cuts to the 2011 budget, $40 billion or so, right, coming from energy, environment, environmental stuff, job training, transportation would also be on the list. So I don't think a whole lot of money is going to trickle down. Remember, this budget we're talking about is the 2012 budget. Congress hasn't passed the 2011 budget yet. Instead, we've had all of these resolutions after resolution after resolution after resolution, funding resolutions, to continue operating. So I think it's going to be a massive uphill battle in getting any of this and any of the spending increases, period, approved. I don't care if it's a high-speed train that can fly around all of the United States in X amount of time and kick the rear end of the Japanese or what the Chinese are doing. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen right now. And then some of the funding for the research at the National Science Foundation, and you know, I could go through all the biomedical research at the National Institutes of Health and whatnot, and but that's not going to happen at this point. Particularly, I think, like I said, the mood that the Republicans are in. And even with the advantage in the Senate, look at the House, a $3.7 trillion budget. And there are some cuts in it for a lot of federal programs. Yes, there are, like 200 different programs. But yet, at the same time, in the same breath, a whole lot of chunky funds for research and development, the infrastructure I mentioned, job training, clean energy programs. And I know exactly what will happen because my cousin challenged me on this earlier in the day. Well, what do you want? A bunch of potholes everywhere? We're going to have potholes? No, there are ways to work on roads. There are ways to work on the bridge situations. It's typical of what we do. We're always in crisis. We're like that dramatic woman that none of you guys want to date. You know, the woman who is always about the chaos, always about being in your face, always about the big time drama. We have drama on all of this. Why can't we ever be ahead of the curve? We have incredibly smart people in this country. There is no reason why we can't occasionally have more high fives or thump or fist pumps. And I don't mean that the whole fist pump thing like it was portrayed a couple of years ago. I mean, like, when, you know, hey, you finally did something. Why can't we ever be on that end of it? We're always behind the curve. And now we're in this sticky situation. Part of the plan, I was talking about the having, you know, the whole deficit thing. Part of the plan was to put 1 million electric cars on the road by 2015 and then offering a $7,500 rebate for electric cars that people could get, theoretically, at the dealerships. But we keep going back to the fundamental problem. The fundamental problem is that we are just drowning in this. We are drowning in this deficit. You cannot leave this to a generation who doesn't have the opportunities that were afforded to some of us. I mean, I'm talking about some of the kids coming out of college now. It's hit or miss because they're just, I'm not saying there's no opportunities, but it's very hit or miss. And then the amount of schooling they have to pay back. And then you're talking about this deficit hanging over their heads. Who knows what our money's going to be worth? I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. I hate that. I hate turning on the radio and hearing that over and over and over again. But you asked for it. It's budget day. We're budget busting. And, you know, we knew it was going to come to this. So here's another perspective. And not surprisingly, Senator Jeff Sessions is going to slam the president. And for what? He's going to slam him for too much spending. Take a listen.
It simply spends, taxes, and borrows too much.
There you go. In a nutshell, and borrows too much. That's right. All right, let's go to Don in Wyoming.
Hi, Kate.
What's up, man?
Hey, weird weekend without any football, huh?
It is a weird weekend.
Hey, happy Valentine's to you, by the way.
Hey, you too.
Did your husband do something nice for you? I can't get over that you're married, but anyway.
Oh, please. Roses, my friend, roses.
Oh, yeah? Is this just a chick thing? Well, I have to deliver zillions of them, of course, you know, our trucking company, and I just never got the idea what the deal with flowers are. It must be a chick thing, you know?
It's just pretty. It just looks good, and you don't always have flowers around.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm more of the... Anyway, let's get off of that. I'm getting in trouble here. Anyway, two things real quick. First of all, I didn't want to give you the wrong impression the other night or our listeners, the listeners of America Tonight, that I'm against demonstrations or people trying to reach out in protests against something that they don't want. And because I know I was talking about the Egyptians and I was upset with them, because, you know, Mubarak had said he would step down, and then he turned around and did step down on Friday. And,
right.
And so they got what they want. My point being is that in the Middle East, there's three basic forms of government. There's monarchies, or there's dictatorships, you know, which is what Saddam was, and Mubarak was. And you can say, and then they have their fake elections, you know, but you know, those were just, you know, to make the people think like they have a choice, but you don't, you know.
Right.
And then you have your monarchies, and some of those monarchies, like Kuwait and United Arab Emirates, they give money to their people, you know, they share that oil wealth. Saudi Arabia, they don't give money to their people, you know, it just goes to the king and his building the palaces and 5,000 princes or Saudis or whatever. And, you know, so some of those monarchies over there are, you know, Jordan, you know, they're more just like dictators, you know, maybe the dictator. And then the only other option these people have over there is Islamic extremism. You know, I either Islamic movement or what do they call this thing, the Brotherhood, you know, or the regime that's running Iran. And, you know, there's never been democracy over there, Kate. I mean, we're stuffing the family Iraqis folks right now and trying to get them to become democracy. But it's not something that's ever been in the Arab world. You know, it's always been kings or, you know, or dictators or Islamic extremists.
Right.
And my point I was trying to make is, you know, the Egyptian people might right now be saying, we don't want this dictator running us, you know, let's have a Islamic, you know, brotherhood or whatever extremes running the country, you know. But I'm like, well, did you just look what was going on in Iran? These people have been run by extreme Islamic regime for 32 years now, excuse me, and they're trying to revolt to get out of it, you know, all the protests they have. They're, you know, there's millions of people in Iran right now who do not want that government in charge.
Right.
And so, you know, the point being is that, you know, I mean, I just wish they all could be democracies and people have the right to speak their mind and, you know, but that's just not the way it is over there. One thing I'm really scared about right now is I don't know if we got the right guy in the White House, Kate, to be dealing with these kind of problems over there. You know?
Right. You know what? And I agree with you. That's part of the problem. And we don't know. It's surprise. Jack in the box. Who knows what it's going to be? You're right. And in fact, enough of the people have said that. We don't have to listen to the United States. You were the people that put Mubarak in place, and we don't have to must do anything. We can do what we want to do. Who knows what that turns into? Who knows what that morphs into? The Muslim Brotherhood, I don't know.
And we've got Obama there in the presidency. He claims he's a Christian, but hung out with, you know, Sarah Khan and Jeffrey Wright and all these other people that were, you know, Nation of Negro Islam or whatever, and You know, and he's given plenty of talks to the Muslims, and you know, and it's great to show that we're willing to. We've got a president that's willing to work with him, but you know, I don't know if he's going to turn his back on Israel or something like that. He says he isn't, but anyway, though. So it's just a nervous situation over there right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, the big deal, as you've been talking a lot about it, is the budget.
Yeah.
And this is a joke. Hey, $3.7 trillion. Let's start putting it, when you say 3.7, that don't sound like a lot because it's just 3.7, you know?
Right.
I don't think most people understand what $1 trillion is. Why don't we start just saying it, $3,700 billion?
That's right. Just think of a mound of money that you cannot wrap your brain around. That's the problem with all of this. Don, you take care. Happy Valentine's Day. Back with Bad Boys next.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy. The best you can buy.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-814-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-814-MY-TV. Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR, HDR upgrade and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-814-MYTV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-814-MYTV. 1-877-814-MYTV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-814-MYTV. 1-877-814-MYTV.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
They all laughed when I told them my body cleansing tonic was tea. But after 10 days, my body feels way more energized, and I've lost nearly 15 pounds. They're not laughing now.
That's what John from Oklahoma said about Life Change Tea.
In the 6 months of being on the tea, all my digestive problems have cleared up. My energy levels have gone way up, and my constipation problems are no more.
And that's what Michelle from California said about Life Change Tea from GetTheTea.com, the amazing all-natural tea that cleanses your body from toxins, chemicals, bacteria, viruses, and molds, while helping to lower high blood pressure, high cholesterol, lower blood sugar levels, and help you lose weight. Life Change Tea has no caffeine and is all natural, all organic. Go to GetTheTea.com today or call 928-308-0408. That's GetTheTea.com or call 928-308-0408.
Life Change Tea really changes things.
Charlie Sheen finally decides, and I don't know really why he did it, but he finally decided he would say a few words about the latest nonsense with him. And, you know, there's, it's always something. And what he did was he called in to the Dan Patrick show, and here's what he had to say about his latest brush with partying hard.
I'm here, and I'm ready. They're not. Bring it, you know? They said, you get ready, we'll get ready. And I got ready, I went back. Nobody's there. I don't know what to tell you.
What he's talking about is he says, hey, I'm ready. I am ready to be part of the crew again, be part of the show. The show that, by the way, he was earning $2 million an episode for. Yeah. Two and a Half Men. So he went on Dan Patrick's syndicated sports / other things show and said that people should stay away from crack cocaine unless you manage it socially, because he's been undergoing substance abuse rehab treatments at home. And he says he's currently peeing clean. and that they should take advantage of it while they can, meaning the producers of his sitcom. That's what he said. I'm ready. I showed up, you know, so I don't know what's going on. And it's because your show's on production hiatus, you big dummy, after this latest rehab treatment thing. Since he had to go to a hospital, an emergency, because he, at one point, they thought he wasn't breathing or some crazy nonsense, because who knows, because it's always strippers or porn stars or whoever might happen to be with him that call the emergency crews, that call 911, whatever. So a shooting is supposed to resume at the end of February. We'll see if that happens. He said he was at the door knocking, you know, at the stage door knocking and saying, where is everyone? And, you know, I guess they're not there. CBS and Warner Brothers not saying much about it, just that they're going to get back to work at the end of February if he can manage to stay clean enough. The porn actress Casey Jordan told the media that it was a two-day bender, a two-day party, and that's what preceded Charlie Sheen's collapse. So paramedics went to his house, took him by ambulance to a hospital. He was there for several hours, and they blamed a hernia for his pain. Then they said he was rehabbing at home, and yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's just crazy. That's all you can say. He is definitely a bad boy, and that's it. He can't handle the women and the drugs and the hard partying, I guess. That's what happens. He eventually veers off course. You know, the guy you have to feel sorry for is Martin Sheen, his father, getting those phone calls. Yeah, it's Chuck again. He's in trouble. What happened this time? Well, he's in lockup, or right now he's in a hospital bed. It's a couple of clean months, and then some crazy thing happens. The stuff with his wife, I guess soon to be his next ex-wife. That's what happens when you get too much money. You get crazy, because you just don't know how to behave anymore. Really, I'm getting this much money, and they keep giving me more money no matter what I do? Oh, well, what outlandish thing can I do next? You know, the silly thing of it is it keeps the buzz sort of about him out there. It's that whole fame thing that it kind of doesn't matter unless you completely derail.
The one thing about him that he reminds me of that guy who you either went to high school or college with who partied all the time,
yeah,
but still managed to get like a 4.0 or something close to it. Because
right.
It's not like he's never been, or at least I haven't heard of him like having trouble like as far as like his acting career goes. It's just all the stuff off the side where it causes a problem for him. It's never him being on the set. He was on the set, he works fine, then he goes home and just, I mean, he goes on these benders like you say, but he comes and shows up for work.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the functioning party guy, you know, and like
I said,
I knew a person, I mean, not with the porn stars and all that, but I knew a person like this in college who literally was out, you know, 5, 6, 7 nights a week, just popping pills, doing whatever, drinking a whole bunch, and just managed to just whiz his way through college.
Wow.
So, I mean, there are people like that out there, and I don't know, maybe he's just one of those guys.
Yeah, there is something to that. I think Matt has a point. I bet all of us knows the party guy that always had a drink in his hand, always was stoned or something or other, and managed to have the most sales or managed to be whizzing through school or whatever it might be. Because I knew a few of those kind of guys, too. Except for that Sheen is so self-destructive. I mean, he's over-the-top self-destructive, where he always ends up in the end, you know, pay more than anything, too, with women. Always with these crazy Heidi Fleiss writing checks to Heidi Fleiss's girls or porn stars or who knows who, crazy lunatic women, and gets in the thick of it. and he's married or he's in the throes of a divorce, he's attracted to drama. Because you'd have to think at some point it'd be like, wow, if I could just have the nice babe in the house and, you know, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of the questions, I'm tired of whatever. But he seems to survive and thrive on it. He still is a bad boy, though. He still makes the bad boy category.
He's probably one of the people who just, they need chaos in their life.
Yes.
If they don't have it, like if he's all of a sudden settled down and things are getting too normal for him, he has to go out on these benders and make things chaotic in his life.
Right, because he's not used to that. It's interesting to think about that. I think there is something to that. I think I've told this story, but if I haven't, I might have told the story, so I'm sorry if you're hearing it again. But I do this thing called Brushes with Fame, or I used to do it. If you've had a brush with fame, let's hear about it, because those stories are kind of funny sometimes. So share them if you have any good ones. 800-259-5791. I had a brush with fame, and it was with Charlie Sheen, but there were also some other famous people. You know, when they were opening up those Planet Hollywoods, it was probably about 10, 11 years ago, and they had a Planet Hollywood that was opening up in San Antonio, and I was covering, I was doing a talk show in Dallas, a sports talk show, so we were down there for the NBA All-Star Game. Got invited to the private, whatever it was, Planet Hollywood party, and it was probably, I don't know who it was people that were connected to the organization, and then famous people. So it was limited. There weren't even normal people that came down for the NBA that were there. I had no idea. And at a table, Charlie Sheen, he weighed like 2 pounds, had a really good-looking face. He has an attractive face, but when I say he weighed 2 pounds, he was really thin. Just like a lot of actors are, and he was smoking. I mean, he was definitely had a bunch of drinks, and he was smoking like a fiend. I mean, one cigarette after another, and seemed pretty friendly, was waved to people waved back to him. I don't think he's not a likable guy, but he's definitely, and especially when it comes to women, he's definitely that bad boy guy. So that's why we rolled him out for this one. And he came out and decided to call a radio show and said, hey, don't blame me. I was there. I showed up. I want my people to get their money, to get their paychecks. We want the show to go on. So let's make it happen. All right, this is a follow-up, and this is a big follow-up. Remember we talked about Shirley Sherrod, who was a former Department of Agriculture employee who resigned last year after the posting of a video that was kind of misleading. It was misleading because there was only portions of a little speech she had given. And Breitbart was the website where they posted it. So she filed a suit against him, and it was filed in the District of Columbia. She talked about that was going to happen. The civil suit accuses him of defamation, false light, and infliction of emotional distress. And she said it's not about politics, it's not about race, it's not about right versus left. The NAACP, which is the organization, a chapter where she was giving the speech, or the Tea Party, it's how quickly in today's internet media environment a person's good name can become collateral damage in an overheated political debate. And then she went on to say that she believes in a free press and full discussion of public issues, but not in distortions of the truth, and said that he never apologized for what he did to me and continues to this day to make the same slurs about my character. Wow. So this is going to be one to watch because of the internet, because of blogging, because of what happened to her. It was really, let's face it, she was thrown under the bus. I don't think by Breitbart. I think it was by the boss that she had that was so quick to pull the trigger without talking to her. Hang with us. We're checking the mail next.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-cytosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10 or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
I like to see you look right across the floor. I like to do things to you, call for more. I like to reggae, but you dance too fast for me. I like to make my food. You can make me spin. Put it on me, woman. What is wrong with me? Put it on me, woman. Baby, can you see? I like to see both of us far deep in love.
All right, we're getting close to the finish line here for this hour of America Tonight. Can you believe it? We're past Valentine's Day. Oh, well. There's always next year. So if you didn't have a Valentine's this time around, maybe by this time next year you will, if those sort of things matter to you. I don't think it's about the Valentine. I don't think it's about that. I think that, you know, surprise her. Surprise her on a different day. It's too forced. It can be something else. How about that? Don't worry about the trumped up holidays where you have to go and buy the $4 card at Hallmark or whatever. Forget about that. So, without further ado, let's head to your comments in the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. This one's from Jeff J. And he says, Kate, I heard you just a little while ago talking about the computer and the humans on Jeopardy. What? ? Will you explain this further? I didn't really get it. I sort of got what you were saying with the Daily Salute, but I don't know that I understood the whole story. All right, it's an IBM supercomputer. They're calling it Watson. Watson finished one round of the show Jeopardy on Monday, tied with one of the competitors, and both of them were $3,000 ahead of the other. What Jeopardy decided to do was take the one of the winners who had been on the longest, who had won 74 straight games, and the guy who had won the most money, and pit both of them against a computer. So they're going to do all these rounds of Jeopardy. They're going to be aired on Tuesday and Wednesday. Nobody knows who really won this, the powerful supercomputer or one of the men. IBM says Watson, which has been in development for a bunch of years, has the processing power of 2,800 powerful computers. So what does that mean? Processing crap. Processing powerful computers. It means that this computer, they swear, understands human language and can get clues through digital texts, and that's what they've rigged it up to do, and then it buzzes in against the human people that the computer's playing against. So it juggles reasoning and all that stuff to come up with an answer. So, for example, they repeated an answer that another contestant, this Ken Jennings, the other guy who won 74 episodes in a row, had already tried. And, you know how you answer a question, what is whatever? What is 1920s? What is a beard and a mustache? Whatever it is. So I guess the computer, and I saw just a little bit of it, sometimes it just nailed it. And other times it didn't. And so that's the idea. Is it, how is this computer working? Well, it has all these bits of information. And in reality, the bulk of the computer power is stored in a building at an IBM lab in New York. So, I don't know. I think it's kind of clever. Especially that the fact that you have the machine tied with the human contestant. Although, everything is about machines now, isn't it? I think in this case, I'm going to say it's clever. But what's the most annoying thing? You hardly ever get a human on the other end of the line when you're calling in for things, like calling a bank, calling a credit card, calling a utility company. You have to go through all this rigmarole. It's like you have to have so much patience when you sit down, especially with a problem. You have to have time and you have to have patience because you go through all these prompts and sometimes you never talk to a live person. And I don't know, there's something about that human touch. But this is different in the case of the Jeopardy thing. I think it's cool. So I hope that explanation works for you. It's the IBM supercomputer. They thought it'd be clever. You're two best contestants of all time. See what happens, because you got the brains and you got the computer. And, let's see who wins in the end. All right, this one is from Shonda West, listening to us, let's see, in Austin. I listen to the show whenever I can. It's interesting how you mix in a lot of different things, and I think even different points of view. I hope more people call that aren't of the conservative bent, because you do, after all, invite all types of people to call. I've heard you say that several times when I've happened to tune in. Here's my question, Kate. It's about Facebook. What do you think of privacy and Facebook? How do you feel about that? I just recently saw a story on the founder of Facebook and how he tries to avoid talking about the so-called privacy problems. Here's what I think. When you're on Facebook, this is the thing. You got to think about this. what are you on Facebook, and there's some cool things about it. You're connecting with people. I know people that have had sort of jobs, not sort of, had jobs happen this way because somebody knew they were looking and said, wow, I didn't realize that you were looking, and we had this old acquaintance and whatever. I know that that can be far and few between. I mean, let's face it, Betty White became popular, did a Saturday Night Live, did this TV show and a couple of other things because she got this buzz over Facebook, which she had never heard of, an actress who was in a Super Bowl commercial. And that led to some interesting things for her. The problem is people, and I've talked to some divorce lawyers about this too, by the way, people get on Facebook and it's like they don't care. Some people go crazy and they put photos that make no sense, like they're married and they just think they're posting these photos of them fooling around with arms around somebody else or whatever. What do you think is going to happen? In a divorce, they're going to sting you for that, and they're going to see, well, yeah, they said they weren't fooling around. Check this out. And then people do things where they're, like, doing bong hits or drugs or whatever. And then you're applying for jobs, and these jobs, in roundabout ways, check social media. So the thing with the privacy deal is you could end up shooting yourself in the foot. You just have to see how you want to be portrayed. The other thing is what the information is you're giving out there. If you're giving information you shouldn't be giving out where you're trackable, then, you know, it's your stupidity. You should put what you want to be out there. If you don't care, no holds barred, I don't care, then that's what your Facebook's going to look like. Because I wouldn't rely on Facebook to make sure they protect you. Let's put it that way. So we want to talk about privacy and just Facebook. You know, they're like any other enterprise. They want to make money. They want more information. They want more connecting of friends. More information means they can have advertisers that pop up on the side of your page because they know your likes. So, yes, they're going to troll for as much information as possible. So if you don't want them to have a lot of information, geez, do not put the information out there. Just don't do it. Don't even test the waters. Then you can rely on yourself. That's it. Whatever it is you have out there, period, that's what people are going to see. And don't trust in whatever the privacy settings are. How's that? Then you don't have to worry about it, right? All right, how about this? Do you not hate this? I've just got this note from Bob, who's listening to us in New York. Did you see the front page of the Post? Did you hear the story about this grocery CEO? Sickening, Kate. Absolutely sickening. Talk about this story. Okay, so he didn't give very many details. What the deal is he's right. The CEO of a grocery store chain had to resign because he was arrested in a child prostitution sting. So the cops were watching him, 52-year-old Michael Gilliland. He was one of eight people picked up. How sad is that? And I think it was in Phoenix where this happened. And he's accused of soliciting sex online from a girl who identified herself as a minor. These guys, once again, not paying attention.